Hey, good morning, everybody. We now I've got all the technology figured out, but we'll get started here in just a moment with our special guest. Hope everybody's having a good morning so far. It's a beautiful day here in Houston. Not a typical Houston morning. It's low humidity, probably about 65 to 70 degrees, and not a cloud in the sky. So it's a beautiful day that God's given us this Sunday. Well, it is 10:02, so hey, let me introduce our special guest this Sunday is Johnny Hunt, who I've known for many years. Johnny and I serve on a ministry board together, and I am very close to some of his family, and we've known each other for a while, and he was pastoring First Baptist Church Woodstock for many years. He has a unique and awesome life story about how he found the Lord, and I'd like to welcome Johnny to our call this morning.
Thank you, JJ. It's a joy to be with everyone.
Well, Johnny, go ahead when you're ready.
All right, we'll dive in. Let me say welcome to everyone that's listening, and I will dive right in. Thank you so much, JJ. I want to talk to us for a few minutes this morning about the subject, can good come out of trials? I've been a Christian for a little over 45 years. I've pastored for 43 years, and most notably 33 years at the First Baptist Church Woodstock until December, and now I'm serving on a national level of training pastors and leading churches and embracing evangelism. But to say all that, in all of my life of living for Christ, I have never had anything to come my way that I didn't feel the Scripture gave better understanding of, or at least what God could do in my life in response to whatever comes my way. Sometimes we can't by any means determine what we will experience, but we do have an opportunity based on biblical truth as to how to respond in that experience. So I want you to listen to my favorite book in the Bible. It's the book of James. He's referred to as the practical theologian. And a lot of people are wondering, is there any just practical biblical help in this time? And so in chapter 1 in verse 2, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing." The theme of James is a faith that works, not faith and works, but a faith that works. It's been said that Christianity has not been tried and found lacking. It just hasn't been tried. So Christ desires our faith to be living, visible, and productive. Hardly a pastor in America would have a copy, if not multiple copies, of books written by Warren Wiersbe. In his mid-80s, just in this past year, Warren Wiersbe went to be with the Lord. He's probably spoken more into my life in my 43 years of pastoring than any other writer of commentaries. He made this statement about James 1, verses 2 through 4. He said, "Our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, the trials often make us bitter and not better." So here's two positive truths about trials, and we are going through a difficult time, and I'm going to talk about the difference in trials and testings that God may send our way and temptations that we deal with that I believe has a different source. But two positive truths about trials is that testings and troubles are not to be taken as personal offenses. Our faith is not the target. It's not us. It's Satan attempting oftentimes in our trouble to make us less trusting of Almighty God. So So God directs specific trials and tests our way to stretch us spiritually. So God wants us to learn endurance. So he tests his servants to bring into our life those circumstances that can teach us something of significance. So I wrote a few words, and I'll just give you a couple of them that fit into the context of can good come out of trials. And the first word is based on verse number 2 of James 1. I call it a descriptive word, and that is evaluation. When he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, he's calling for a consideration. Think forward regarding trials. One thing we learn in the study of language is that the word count is in such a tense that it signifies that this joy that we read about comes after the trial. Oftentimes we've heard someone give stories of how they went through a difficult time, and they would say, after they came through it, I would not wish it on my worst enemy, but I would take nothing for what God taught me in it. That's the principle of counting it all joy. The joy comes after the trial. Everyone's familiar with Job, whether they study the Bible or not. They've heard of Job, and they often refer to Job and his patience. In Job chapter 23 and verse 10, the Bible says, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. So James did not say that trials are joy. Job did not consider losing his health a joy, but he looked forward to the joy that would follow his trial. And so if you've read the end of the book after 43 chapters in Job, you realize that his outlook did determine his outcome. His attitude did determine his actions. And so joy, when connected to trials, can really be associated with a life that God wants to build in the individual's life. One of my favorite verses in the Bible comes from Hebrews 12:2, and it's referring to Christ and him about to go to the cross, and it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, listen to this language, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The question is, did Jesus count Calvary as joy? Answer is certainly not. But thinking ahead, he thought past Calvary, and therefore he bore up under the trial of the cross, knowing what it would accomplish in the end. One old songwriter put it this way, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And so what he was able to accomplish brought him great joy. So when the Bible says, when we fall into various trials, in other words, they're inevitable, they're inescapable, they're unavoidable. All of us are going to have trials. It refers to stumbling into things we didn't see coming or encountering something that we never dreamed was around the bend. It's the same word that Luke's gospel uses to describe the Good Samaritan's encounter with the man who fell among thieves. So it gives the word picture of warning about impending problems that have been encircled. So you can't schedule or plan for a trial. They always seem to catch us unaware. Spiritual equivalence to a pop quiz is a compound word that means to fall into or be surrounded by it. So not just in your city and my city, not just in America, but literally 184 countries of the world, literally the entire world has been surrounded by and has fallen into a season because of the coronavirus. And so Jesus, in the midst of this, in the life of a believer, he's calling for an uncommon attitude toward what many times is a common experience. For us pastors and teachers, we no longer can be visible with our people, there with them in contact. And yet we have people that are serving all over the world that because of persecution and because of the offense of Christianity have been in this situation forever. Church buildings are not founded until 200 or 300 years after the birth of Christ. So the early church encountered on a weekly basis what we are encountering even now in the trials that we're falling into. James puts it this way, he calls it various trials, which means multicolored. It means all sorts. Trials are not alike. Some are job-related, some are financial, some are domestic, some are the results of the fear of failure. Others are the results of old age or guilt or competition or problems with the office or day-by-day experience in a home. All sorts and all stripes. So let me just mention this, and then I'll give you a couple of closing statements. The word for trials is the exact same word in the New Testament for the word temptation. You say, well, how do you discern between a trial that maybe God is allowing us to go through and a temptation that is maybe overruling in our life? The context always serves to disclose which it is, whether it's a trial or a temptation. See, a trial is a testing which comes from an external situation, and it works itself inward. So all of us are going through this trial right now of this staying in our own places, so much fear of going out, and some are doing better than others. But it's something that's come on us from exterior. We refer to what happened in China and how it made its way to us. On the other hand, temptation is a solicitation which comes to us in the inward parts and then works itself out. So the trial seems to deal more with the response you choose to make than it does with the severity of the trial. So in trials, there's two things that are happening at the same time. A temptation to run from under the trial and please our flesh and blame God and everyone else. And this is the exact opposite of what Christ hopes to accomplish in us. And then secondly, a test is to see if God will be honored in our life by obeying his word. Well, there's so much in this text. We'll go on and on and on. But let me just give you a couple of basic statements about truths that I've learned in trials, things that come from the outside, and then how it affects my life will be predicated on how I respond. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith that produces something. So God is in the production business. He is producing in us himself so that when we go through particular trials, we may come out looking more like him than we did when we went into it. And then he makes this statement, but let your patience have its perfect work. In other words, let it mature. Don't jump ship. Stay in there, and God will mature you, and you will be complete, lacking nothing. So it really speaks of God completing something in our life as we cooperate with him. So here's some truths I've learned about right responses to trials. Trials can be used to purify our faith. In other words, it proves our faith is genuine. It's something that, as Adrian Rogers said, death can't steal and money can't buy. It's genuine. But also trials produce patience. God is working in us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 says, knowing that these trials, these tribulations, produces perseverance. You're able to endure more. You become more steady, more consistent in your walk with the Lord and in your ways. And then trials perfect character. They make us mature. God removes a lot of the defects. It's like the purifying of metal. The alloys rise to the surface, and the metal becomes pure. And they promote communion. They can drive us to the source of our life, and that is Christ. So when everything around us is unstable, the most stabling factor in our life, through communion with Christ, can be nothing but Jesus himself. And then two last statements. Trials contain purging. Many times through trials, God removes that which does not represent him. So God has a way of of doing something in our life that makes us better when we come out of it than when we went into it. Many have said that the world will never be the same again. We saw that in 2001, the World Trade Center, and how things really never have been the same in many areas of the world as a result of what happened at 9/11. And many are saying when we come out of this pandemic that the world will never be the same. But the question is, will we be the same? Will God do purging in our life that when we come out, we will look more like him? And then last of all, trials are purposeful. I'm not sure what all God is up to in this, but I know one thing for sure. He has not vacated his throne. He is still in control, and he is faithful. And he wants to remind us that everything our eye can see is temporal, and only that which we cannot see is eternal. So during this time, may we not just think about our physical needs, our mental welfare, but may God work deeply in our hearts to draw us to him spiritually. Let me pray for all of us. Father, thank you for your word. There's more there than we can mind. It's literally like being in a gold mine. Thank you for JJ and for all of those who serve with him. And I pray your blessings on their life. Meet their deepest need in their personal lives, in their family lives, and draw each of us closer to you. And when this pandemic ends, may not only the world be different, but may we be different as a result of the work that you do in our life through this trial. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much, Johnny. What a fitting message for the time we're going through. You know, I've done a lot of the subjects, but you know, the thing I really liked about is the purge that's happening in us, and how, you know, like a silversmith heats up the metal to get the purest silver. God puts us through these trials and these fires to purify us sometimes, and that's very fitting and a very timely message today about purifying us and purging us to get us ready for what he has for us next.
Well, thank you. Joy to be with you and with all those listening.
Thanks so much. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.